Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, we're going to read verses 55 through 61. Genesis 24, verses 55 through 61. And we'll read this passage responsively. And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master." They said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And let's finish on verse 61. Ready? And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And let's pray. Father, thank you. We sure do love you. Teach us the truth tonight. Help us. Lord, we live in such a wicked world, a sinful world, and Lord, a confusing world. Lord, we need you. We need you to help us in this area of life especially, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Tonight, I am going to attempt. my sermon outline is quite lengthy. I have 11 points to give you tonight. I'm only going to preach 30 minutes. I'm going to land the plane whether I'm done or not, amen? But I want to teach you a truth tonight. I call it learning to let go. Learning to let go. We have here in Genesis 24 the story of Abraham sending his servant to go find a wife for his son Isaac. And Abraham's servant gets there. He finds a young lady named Rebekah. He goes through a series of tests to make sure she is the one. He goes to her house and begins to talk to her family, and they decide that Rebekah is the one. And this man says, "Good, we're leaving now." That wasn't what the family wanted to hear. Tonight, I want to focus on this family. Now, by the way, they had put trust in her. They knew it was the right thing. They just weren't quite ready for it yet. You see, they were about to lose a daughter to marriage. They were about to lose a daughter to adulthood. They were about to lose a child, possibly never even to see her again, because she was moving to a distant place. We're going to look at what this family, that I don't know how else to term this, pardon this, but the family that got left behind. This family wanted Rebekah, the Bible says in verse 55, they wanted her stay another at least 10 days. They said, "Look, give us 10 more days. We want to see her. We want to tell her goodbye the right way. We want her to be able to spend some time with us these last days." And the servant said, "Look, I'm in a hurry. My master is a successful person, and she's about to marry into a successful family. There's not time. We got to go." And the family said, "Well, let's let Rebekah decide." And it's amazing to me. Here's a young lady, and she said, I'll go. Now, I don't think it's because Rebekah had a bad family. I don't think it's, here's my ticket out of here. Let's get going, amen. I don't think that was the story. Obviously, they wanted her to stay. That meant they loved her. There was some deep feelings there. And by the way, can you see the potential for hurt feelings by mommy and daddy? Can you see the struggle this young lady might have had making that decision? Learning to let go is not easy. Letting your children grow up seems good, but it's not easy. I remember when my oldest left for college. That was not an easy day. I remember when he graduated from high school. I remember when he graduated from kindergarten. It only took him 7 years. No. I remember, you know, and I remember when he was finally gone. Did you know my food bill went down? Did you know my water and electric and all those bills went down? I thought, man, let's get rid of two more. This is getting better. Now I got one more just graduated. Got another one leaving. I got two of them leaving in the fall for college together. One to go. It all sounds fun, but it's not easy, just so you know. You go from meeting all of their needs, they're totally dependent on you, to not having a say-so in anything they do. Do you know what the scariest day of a parent's life is? The day you hand your car keys over to your kid and they can drive it away and you don't have to be in it with them. That's a scary day. They have a 3,200-pound weapon that is in their control and you don't have any control over it. It's okay all those times they're driving with you because you can jerk the wheel and slap them upside the head and do whatever you need to do. But when you give them that key and say, all right, this is where you got to go, go there, come back, and please don't kill anybody or anything or my car in the process, and you got to let them go on their own, that's a pretty, y'all know what I'm talking about? And every siren you hear along the way. You know what I'm talking about. My son the other day, he was doing some work for Brother Schenenberger up in, Boonesboro, in Boone Land up there in the middle of nowhere on the mountain over there. He had worked all day, got off work, drove up there. He was working till dark. And he was supposed to be home around 9 o'clock. It's about 10 after. My wife's looking at the clock every 2 minutes, you know. I'm watching her, and all of a sudden the sirens go off. She said, where's Jeff? I said, it's okay, he'll be here. I had just heard the car door in the driveway. She didn't know that. I said, I bet you he's probably just about here anyway. And all of a sudden the door let loose. And I heard my daughter say, whew, those sirens are scaring me, Dad. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It gets nerve-wracking. It doesn't matter if it's when they begin to walk the first day of school. You know, I never understood why mama stand there the first day of kindergarten and cry. But it happens every time. I was thinking, here we go. It doesn't matter if it's their first teen activity. Amen. Some of you had new seventh graders that just went to their first teen activity. And some of you were really apprehensive about it. Say, how do you know? Because I've been a parent. You know, are they going to behave themselves? Are they not going to burp in public? Are they not going to do this? You know, all those wonderful things you think about. Whereas my mother would say, do you have clean underwear on? Gotcha, Mom. Doesn't matter if they're going to college or if they're getting married. These are not easy days for anyone. These principles will not just be for parenting. These principles apply to any area of life. But I'm going to give you 11 principles about letting go. By the way, if you're a boss and you have employees, you have responsibilities that need let go. You have to increase responsibility. We've got Brother Josh and Miss Autumn that are working with us here at the church this summer. And there's things I'm giving them and I have to let go. Now, they got an answer to me on them. I'm keeping my finger on it, but there's a lot of things I'm not doing. You say, why? That's why they're here. I got to let them do it so we can get more done. There's things Mrs. Barnes does, and I oversee it, but I don't touch every aspect of it. You say, why? I got to let it go so we can get more done. That's part of growth. Now listen to me. Let me give you 11 statements, and I got 17 minutes. Here we go. Number one, realize that your children are not yours. God gave them to you on loan to raise for him. Folks, the biggest mistake you'll ever make is thinking those are your kids. They're not. They're God's. Godly parenting, let me give you a definition of godly parenting. It's taking the dependence a child has in mom and dad and transferring that dependence on God so that when they leave your house, they are as dependent on God as they were on you when they were first born. That's godly parenting. By the way, as my parents said, they didn't rear me to stay. You ought not raise your kids to stay at your house the rest of your life. Something's not right. Now, have them come back and visit, yes, but don't move in. Don't give them a key, amen? change the locks. Number two, the process of letting go begins with the cutting of the umbilical cord. Mamas, the moment that cord's cut, the process of letting go begins. Just so you know. You have to let go more and more at every level of life. The moment that cord's cut, they're almost 100% dependent on you. But guess what? By the time they start walking, that dependence is done. You know, then they're, you know what, on feet. I mean, they're everywhere. And then after they start walking, then they start talking more. Then they start talking back. Then they go through the why stage, amen? Then they get to that school stage. Then they're leaving you for hours and hours and hours at a time. And you feel that severing happen more and more. Then they get a little older and it gets farther and farther. And by the time they're in high school, they only need you for about 5 to 10% of their life. The other 90%, they could make it. And you wonder why you struggle. And then you let them go to college and they don't need you except for money, amen? You say, what is that? That's what parenting's all about. The goal is, though, from the time they cut the cord till they leave your house, is to get them to become dependent on God. Now, they need to learn to live without you hovering over their shoulder, making them do what they're supposed to do. Do you know, it's my job to raise my children to work someday so that mommy and daddy don't have to check up on them. It's also my job to raise them so that when they go to work someday, that the boss doesn't have to stand over their shoulder and make them work. Folks, some of you can get your kids to do anything, but nobody else can get them to do anything. Just because you can make them do something doesn't mean you've successfully raised your kids. My children ought to be able to go to work. By the way, they ought to be able to get up on their own. My son this week, he had a big job up there in Boonesboro, and the weather was not cooperating with the rest of his schedule. Amen, Brother Mark? And I wouldn't let him take off work to go get another job. He had to work both. And he said, Dad, this isn't working out. I said, well, you got one thing. You can either do it Saturday afternoon. He said, no, I'm going to get up early Thursday and do it. I said, okay. I said, but I'm not getting your carcass out of bed. 5 o'clock, his alarm went off. By 4:45, he was out the door. Went, worked for 3, 4, 5 hours, came back, cleaned up, went to work. Worked all afternoon, came home, cleaned up, went to a youth activity. Mommy and daddy didn't get him out of bed. Matter of fact, I was up, but I didn't get out of bed to check on him. Say why? Because I want to see what he's going to do. Not my job to make him do it. By the way, didn't have a boss stand over his shoulder while he was there either. Amen, Brother Mike? The job was just supposed to get done. Now listen to me very carefully. You need to rear your kids so that they'll obey all of their authorities, not just you. That's why when you complain about their teachers or you complain about their boss being so mean to your kid, you're destroying your child. Okay, moving on. Number three. Man, am I feeling lonely up here. Parents, the focus of your life should be your marriage, not your children. I'm going to say that again. The focus of your life should be your marriage, not your children. Your children are going to leave. Your spouse shouldn't. Folks, I'm within about 2 years of getting rid of the last one. Guess what? Mama's still going to be home. The focus of our life has been our marriage, not our kids. I used to tease my boys, get your hands off my wife. They'd walk up and hug her or kiss her. I'd say, don't you kiss my wife. That's my wife, not yours. They'd get mad. I mean, they were little. They'd get mad at me. No, that's my mommy. I said, no, she's my wife. That trumps her being your mommy any day. No, she's mine. No, she's not. She's mine. I said, you're going to grow up someday and marry some toe-headed idiot, and you're going to leave her, but I'm not leaving your mama. No, I'm not going to do that, Daddy. Yeah, right. Guess what? She's still mine. Now listen to me very carefully. We look at the Proverbs 31 lady. Can I tell you something? The Proverbs 31 lady was not written by a husband about his wife. The Proverbs 31 lady was written by a son observing the marriage between his mom and his dad. Proverbs 31:1, the words of King Lemuel, O my son. Hello. This is a grown man giving us an observance about his mom, not a man about his wife. Everybody doing okay? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. The example of your marriage will be more valuable to your children, especially as they get older. Number four. You need to build friendships with your children as they get into high school, not dictatorships and not buddies. Okay, hang on. This is where we're going to separate everything. You know, you need to learn to have fun in your house. Now, I realize not everything when you live within four walls is fun. Trust me. Not everything with children is fun. Not everything with teenagers is all fun. Every once in a while, by the way, mommies, when a teenage boy gets into that 15, 16, 17-year range, daddy and that boy are going to go nose-to-nose, toe-to-toe at some point in time, and maybe many points to time. Say why? Because you got a boy trying to be a man, and you got a man that is a man. It's going to happen. And that doesn't mean, fellas, that it's a knockdown, drag-out fight, but every once in a while, you're going to get in your boy's face and tell him what for. Say why? Because that's what it's going to take. By the way, it's going to happen in real life every once in a while too. By the way, they need to learn how to take it. I think a boss ought to be able to look at an employee and get in his face and get into him every once in a while. And him not say, well, I hate you and I'm going to quit. Good, let me find a real man. Hello. Okay. You need to learn to work together. I think working together is the best way to learn how to have fun in your house. I'm going to go cut wood tomorrow, taking one of my boys with me. I love cutting wood. My boys hate cutting wood. Now as they're getting older, they're starting to enjoy it a little bit more. Can I tell you why? Because we've learned to make some of it fun. And it's not a fun job, but it is fun. Say why? Because we get to spend time together. Now, it's far more fun to go out and shoot and kill something and have blood and guts everywhere. I agree. But every once in a while, you got to do the work with it, too. Let me make this statement. I want you to get this. When it comes to making friendships with your children, listen to this. Bring them up to where you are. Don't go down to where they are. The mistake most parents make is they're 40 years old trying to act like a 15-year-old to relate to their kid. No, bring your 15-year-old up to the 40-year-old level. Don't try to be their buddy. Be their friend. Whew. Okay, number five. The most important thing to teach a child is a good work ethic. The most important thing to teach a child is a good work ethic. Can I tell you something? From the time they can walk, it's time to teach them to work. I'm talking year and a half old. You say, what kind of work can they do? They can pick up their toys. You need to put a stinking toy in their hand, take them over, have them put it in the toy box or wherever they're supposed to put it, and every one of those cotton pickers they threw on the floor, time to pick them up. Now listen to me. They need to learn to pick up their own clothes. They need to be able to wash and clean their own clothes. When they go to college, mommy's not going to be there to do it. Some of you mamas are killing yourself trying to do everything for all your kids. Teach them to do some of the work. They're going to have to learn to do it on their own anyway. Hey, I'm glad. What was it? How many years ago, hon, did you break your ankle? Was that 4 years ago? Something like that. About 4 years ago, she broke her ankle. My daughter would have been 4 years ago. She'd have been 11. You know, for about a week, my daughter cooked all the meals at my house at 11 years old for five people. Can I tell you why? Because my wife couldn't. Now, wait a minute. She's still in the kitchen with my wife. All of my kids can do their own laundry. They know how to wash what clothes with what. By the way, my wife doesn't do their laundry. Say why? Because they're going to have to learn to take care of their own things. Not because my wife's too lazy to do it. We're trying to teach our kids to make it on their own. Isn't that what life's all about? They need to learn to take out the trash and pick it up, not shove it under the bed or between the mattress and the box springs. Amen? Most parents won't teach their kids to do this. Listen, why? Because it's easier for you to do it than to make them to do it. It takes less time for you to do it than it does them. Take the time, teach them to do it. Eventually, you'll get your time back and then some. Everybody doing okay? Okay, moving on. Number six. And I got 10 minutes. By the way, teach them to show up on time for a job. Being late is wrong. Teach them that. Number six, let your children decide between good and better, not right and wrong. Don't give your children choices between right and wrong. Give them choices between good and better. By the way, don't offer your opinion about which they should take. Did you get that? Some of you are going to give your kids a choice and say, boy, I wouldn't make that choice. And then you get mad at them for not choosing what you would choose. My mom and dad will laugh at this one. I was thinking about this week. We used to go to my grandma's house. Grandma and grandpa always had a little bowl that had nickels and dimes in it. And before we'd leave, they'd let us pick one. Well, I thought, hey, that nickel's bigger. That's worth more, amen? It took me a while to figure out it wasn't worth more. I don't know why they ever did that. Confused me, amen? One day I finally figured it out and thought, man, I could have had double my money all these years. Probably my brother told me since it was bigger, it was worth more so that he could take the dime and make more money. But who knows? By the way, don't offer your opinions when you've given them a choice. Did you hear that? Let them find out. If you've given them two good things to choose from, why does your opinion matter anyway? Okay, moving on. By the way, once they've made a decision, make them stick to it. For instance, if you give them two boxes of cereal and they get to choose from one in the morning, and one kid chooses this one and one kid chooses that one, and you get the bowls and fill it up and put it out there, and then this one decided that he wants that one now, guess what? They eat that one no matter what. Some of you throw the whole bowl of cereal away and give them what they want. No, you make them stick to the decision they made the first time. They'll make better decisions later in life if you teach them to stick to the decision they make the first time. Everybody doing okay? Boy, I'm helping you. Oh, you're going to get mad at me. By the way, Rebecca had been trained to make decisions. Did you notice? They said, let's ask her. Number seven. I have 9 minutes. Learn to add responsibility to a child. Learn to add responsibility to children. By the way, and whether you like this statement or not, doesn't matter. Boys need more responsibility sooner than girls to keep them focused and busy. Now, let me say this. Boys are not supposed to be slaves. Children are not slaves. Okay? But they do need to learn how to work. Oh, Brother Logan, I'm going to get in trouble. Folks, maybe I'm way too old-fashioned. But I don't think a child should get paid for what they do at home. They call it an allowance. If you pick up your toys and if you make your bed every day, we'll pay you. Folks, that's what you're supposed to do every day in life, whether you get paid for it or not. Now, if there's an extra job out there and you want your boy to split three cords of wood for you and you're willing to pay him because he's wanting to earn some extra money, I'm for it. But if that's the work that you do and you heat your house with that, that's his contribution to the family to help pay the bills. Good night. My dad and I, my brother, we split so much wood, I didn't care if I ever saw an axe, a maul, or a sledgehammer the rest of my life. I was 17 years old before I ever found out there was such a machine called a log splitter. I looked at my dad. He brought this thing home because we got a late start. I said, where did you get this? He said, they've been around for a long time. I said, how come we haven't got one before? He said, because I fed two log splitters. That's why. Can I tell you something? I can't tell you how many times my dad, maybe on purpose, maybe not, but I'd hear him talking to some of the men at church and he'd say, yeah. He said, my gas bill's only so much because my boys were splitting wood this summer. Whew, where's more wood at? We'll go at it, except that stupid ironwood. Next, number 8. Approve and monitor all of your friends, the children. Let me try that again. Approve and monitor all of the friends your children spend time with. I'll get it out one of these days. Approve and monitor all of the friends your children spend time with. I'm going to make this statement. Just because your friends, and I'm talking about you as parents, have children your children's age, doesn't mean that their kids and your kids ought to be best friends. There are some personalities that should not be together because they're dangerous. Amen, Brother Joe. He and I have a child each that you put those two together, it's not a good combination. One-on-one, they're both fine, but don't put them together. We're all going to jail. Say, why? There's just some kids like that, amen? They just, neither one can lead the other one the right way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all had friends just like that. You know what I'm talking about. Now, listen to me very carefully. You better know who they social network with too. Well, I don't even know what my kid's account is. Come see me. I'll show you how you fix that. A sledgehammer takes care of the whole problem. More kids are ruined by the wrong friend than any other thing in life. And I do know what I'm saying on that statement. Okay, number 9. And I have 5 minutes to go through 2 more. This one will be very, very quick. Make sure the church is the center of your home. It's not just for your kids. I don't think you ought to send your kids to church. I think you ought to bring them. I think you ought to bring them whether they want to come or not. Okay, number 10. Don't get... Oh, Brother Buck, I'm really in trouble on this one. Don't get so wrapped up in your own personal success that you fail to train your kids how to succeed. Okay, now we're splitting hairs, aren't we? And let me say this. Your children may succeed in an area that's not your strength. Can I tell you something? Let them have their own area. Okay, I am the world's worst mechanic. Do you know who my dad is? If it's mechanical, it can get fixed. Okay, my brother's like that. You know, at 5 years old, he was, or 3 years old, tearing wagons apart and putting them back together. At 3 years old, I was tearing them apart and throwing them all over the yard and don't give a rip. You say, what's your mechanical ability? 1-800-MEL-BUSH. Dad, what do I do? 1-800-BROTHER-HAWKINS, amen? I'm not mechanically inclined, but you know what? I'm glad I didn't have a dad that forced me into becoming a mechanic. I'm glad I had a dad that said, okay, if this is going to be the area, give it all you got and make the best of what you can do there. He didn't force me into something. By the way, we have too many daddies trying to live their life that they didn't live as a child through their kids. Just because you didn't play professional sports doesn't mean your kid is either. I've watched them all play. None of them are of that quality, trust me. Let them have their own areas. Can I tell you something? There's a reason. My son Josh and I were talking this week. I had the ability to go on every away game my children ever participated in. But I never went to one. Not one. I was their principal. I was an assistant pastor in their church. Shoot, I knew they were in trouble most of the time before they knew they were in trouble. They needed time away from mommy and daddy where we didn't see everything going on so that they could come back to the house with information that we didn't know about, or at least they didn't think we knew about. By the way, I've stepped away from the youth department this summer a little bit. I'm not in the Sunday school class. I'm not going in Say why? Because I still got two kids in the youth department. I'm not going on all the activities. It's well chaperoned. I'm going on one activity this summer. I'm going to the baseball game. Amen. Say why? Because that's one I wanted to go to. I have that right as the pastor. Amen. I want my kids to enjoy things away from us so they have something to talk about when they come to us that we weren't there for. That's how they mature. Okay, number 11, and I'm done. Never, never, never give up on them. Never, never, never give up on them. Guess what? They will mess up in life. They will make mistakes. Why do you want to give up on them? Don't excuse the wrong that they do, but let them know you love them unconditionally. They might be screwing their life up and you will not condone it. That doesn't mean they're going to live in your house while they do wrong, but may I say this, always let them know you love them. And when they do mess up, don't bail them out. Make them work through it. You probably thought I grew up in jail. I remember one day my dad saying, after I started driving, son, you do something stupid and end up in jail, you're paying your own bail. I'm not paying for it. You'll sit there till you can pay it yourself. That motivated me not to get in trouble. I don't know about you. By the way, did he mean it? You ask him. I'm not going to. I felt like he did. Never give up on them. Just never give up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, some of you don't have children, but you got employees. You've got friendships. You've got friends. Most of these principles apply across the board. I applied it mainly to child rearing, but it applies all the way across.